Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Today we'll be dealing with our namesake, but before we give him a fair shake, I'm Cody Narveson, and I can be found on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry. You can find me at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
Also with us today in the background, you can't see it because this is a podcast, but it's a shrine made in the likeness of our super producer, Jason Daphnis, whom you can keep up with online at Nintendoofus. And finally, you can keep tabs on the podcast on Twitter at StoopKidsPod. We will be discussing the episodes of Hey Arnold in order of production code, and if you're ever unsure of where we're at in the episode queue, find us on Twitter and check out our episode announcements there. Today is a very exciting day for us because we get to talk about Hey Arnold, and pretty much every episode is a banger. As we found, that is true even in the show's relative infancy. Next up here, we have episode 3A, which is titled Arnold's Hat. Original air date, October 30th, 1996. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga steals Arnold's hat to complete her secret shrine, a statue in the shape of Arnold's head made from Arnold chewed bubblegum. Arnold feels like he is nothing without his hat, so Helga is planning to return it to him, until her mother throws it in the trash, which is on its way to the dump. Shouting out the people behind the scenes for this episode, first off, the writing team. Steve Vixton gets writing credit for this episode, and the first of, I think, about 10 instances of this. I also saw a writing credit for Francesca Marie Smith, young voice of Helga Vataki, doing some work at the writer's desk. So shout out to her. We've got directors as well, really quick. Jamie Mitchell returning as supervising director, as well as Larry Leaklighter and Tuck Tucker, as well, co-directing this episode.
Rest in peace, Tuck Tucker, once again.
Rest in peace.
Recently passed away.
Yeah. Harry, what are some of your kind of initial takes about this episode?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we've said it before, but we should say it again. Francesca Smith was born in 1985, so she would have been 11 years old when this episode aired, which means I have no idea how old she was when she was apparently helping co-write it. Emily, you had said earlier that that might have been a reference to improvised lines. Helga's lines in this episode are incredible, as they often are, but especially in this case. There's at one point she just literally states like the basic theme of the entire episode in her really funny, really well-characterized way. And so this is a really great Helga episode. It's a lot of firsts for Helga, right? It's the first time, like Emily, you pointed out, that we see Helga's home life. Miriam makes an appearance, although not in person, just her voice. We get to see the shrine that Helga dedicates to Arnold, so we get to see just how over the top and ridiculous her crush is. It's a really great Helga episode in the sense that, a lot like Little Pink Book, we end up seeing that Helga herself and Helga's crush are both actually redemptive, right? Because the whole idea of this episode is that Helga constructs this sort of icon to this idea of Arnold that she is obsessed with completing. But when she finds out that completing this icon would mean actually taking something from Arnold, the human being, Arnold, the person, she decides that it's not worth it and she'll return the hat to him. So that shows that she actually cares about Arnold as a human being and not just this sort of nebulous ideal, although there are elements of that, and that ultimately she is a good person who cares about other people, right? Instead of just herself and her idea of people. And like we've said before, that's like a really important element of this show in general, right? Because this is a show about helping children or helping sort of preteens navigate these early feelings that might be sort of overwhelming for them. And so to show that it's okay for Helga to have this overwhelming crush and that it's not necessarily like a scary thing or something that people should be like ashamed of or afraid of, and that actually you can still be a good person while navigating complicated relationships like this is like a really surprisingly important thing to tell children. And the fact that they can do it while remaining this funny and this light is really something special, I think. So I think this is a great episode.
I think you're right. Emily?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Harry. This episode stressed me out a lot as a kid, especially just because you see Helga's shrine to Arnold, and the extent of her crush is just even more over the top, like you were saying, Harry, than we might have realized so far. And this is only the third episode, so that's kind of wild. I really like this episode, too, just for its focus around Arnold's hat, obviously, and how that makes him feel more like himself and more comfortable in general. Yeah, it's a great episode. Let's get into it, fellas.
Yes, get into it. We shall. I like this as a sort of maybe spiritual follow-up to Little Pink Book, as it's already been alluded to, because obviously it's a very Helga Strong episode. We see some things, and specifically for me anyway, here are some things done differently in this episode that kind of set it apart, especially when you get so many Helga-centric episodes so early. I don't know if it was the sort of idea to, you know, beef up the sound editing for when, you know, for example, Arnold is getting ready for the day, him flipping his hair and like the little sparkle on the hat. We get things later too with Helga. Her face drooping comes away with sound effects. There's a very, like, for this show, very Looney Tunes-y sequence where she's like trying to obtain the hat and gets like her silhouette gets brought through a wooden shed. I felt like I was watching Wile E. Coyote, but
including the ribbon, right? Including the outline of the ribbon on her head smashes through the door. Yeah.
Right.
That's such a good point.
Cartoon defying physics, despite it being a cartoon that doesn't really lean into that, but it does help it kind of tiptoe away from like homogenizing Helga as a character and the episodes that she is like more like a bigger part of, you know, we're focused on her a lot more. So that was sort of my big takeaway from this.
And she's so funny and so melodramatic. Like the source of her humor is so well characterized and so consistent, where like she's up on the roof and she's crying and whining about like, I'm never going to get this hat. And then the hat lands at her feet because of the wind. And she goes, I knew I would get this hat.
Right. It's like an almost mythic quality that goes unexplained, but the wind brings Arnold's hat to her in some cosmic benevolent way that, I guess I can't recall offhand if that tracks, you know, later on. But we'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
And she's such a funny and flexible character where like she's enacting schemes to steal this hat with the fishing pole, or she's like composing poetry to Arnold, her beloved, as always. She's dancing around the room with Arnold's gumhead. She's such a dynamic character, and she's always so consistently characterized, even like the both halves of her personality, the bully and the sensitive poet. Like we understand where they're both coming from so well because of how consistently well characterized she is. And it's so funny that you can do that in 11 minutes, right? Like we can understand this character who is a bully who also keeps a gum head of Arnold in her room and concocts wild schemes to steal a hat, but is still going to give the hat right back when she understands that it's bothering Arnold.
For sure. Also, I just like the idea of we all have clothes that make us feel more like ourselves. And I was thinking of it while we were watching it, how Helga always has her bow on. I mean, she always has the same outfit on, just like any given cartoon character does. but just thinking of it, like, she knows how important Arnold's hat is to him and that he wears it every day, just like she wears her bow every day. So in thinking of how big of a crush she has on him, I just wonder if she ever considered the fact that, like, what would it be like for her to lose her bow? Like, how would she feel if, you know, the roles were reversed?
Yeah, you characterize that really well, too, because, like, the show itself also makes it clear that, like, the clothing here is like a form of self-expression or like self-determination, right? Like they even show Arnold's parents, I think for the first time, in a flashback sequence that shows how Arnold got his hat, which is huge, right? Because Arnold's parents end up becoming like this really important symbol for who he is and like who he wants to be, and for like the sort of myth that allows him to be the good person that he is all sort of based on this idea that his parents are out there and they're good people and they're waiting for him. And like the hat symbolizes that, right? So like this show does a really good job of showing that like fashion is self-expression is sort of an expression of who you are and who you want to be. So it's very important, which again, like, especially for kids, is like a pretty cool message, right? Like, it's saying that like it's actually like it's cool and good and important for you to like express yourself through your clothes or through something that you care about, which is rad.
Yeah, Arnold even says, "My hat is special. It's part of me," which is so sweet.
Aww,
and
yeah.
His grandpa just tries to drive home a very hilarious point, which is that you are who you are because of what's on the inside, not on the outside. Which is just repeated in a funny way in the episode.
Right, it echoes.
But the two messages are opposing, and I like how the episode just juggles the two ideas.
Yeah. Without contradicting either of them, right? It's like it's those things are both true, but like it's okay for something that is on the outside of you to be important to you if the reason it's important to you is because it expresses who you are on the inside, right? Which is like a really good nuanced point to make, because like there is an argument that the whole you are who you are on the inside, not the outside, it's like weirdly dismissive, right? Where like kids hear that and they're like, oh, so like I'm shallow or I'm petty if I care about appearances or I care about who the things that I have on the outside. And like this show actually like goes a step further and makes it more nuanced and says like, no, it's actually okay. Right. Because like, if that's something that expresses who you are on the inside and that reminds you of it, then it's okay if it's important to you.
Yeah.
Right. Cause your style is so much a part of you, your personality and everything, even just your hair. Like they show Arnold, but you're talking about how they have him doing his hair after he showers and putting it up in the way that it's always styled.
Right. And he's got the cool room and everything.
Yeah. And it says a lot about like, it's cool to be an individual. Sure. What like you're all about on the inside is obviously really important, but it's okay to express yourself and to want to feel more like your own person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even like it characterizes Helga's crush really well, right? Because like Helga, it like we learn what a crush is, which is like an appreciation for that mythology of the person, is that like she realizes that like, oh, taking the hat from Arnold would take something away from him that makes him the person I have a crush on. Again, Francesca Smith's great line, she actually says that like straight up, right? Which something else that's really funny, she's saying all of this incredible stuff about like, I must return the hat that makes my beloved who he is to him, and her face is covered in ice cream because the Jolly Ollie Man went insane, quote unquote, and was throwing free ice cream out to everybody. So like we get this great melodramatic monologue while she's covered in ice cream.
I love that. Also, shout out to the fact that she gets a hug from Arnold at the end of the episode. That's a huge deal. I don't think that has happened up until this episode. Any affection between them?
Yeah, I don't think so. And she gives herself the old slap in the face to like pull herself out of it, which I feel
really
like
good.
Kind of par for the course. Maybe not, but I do think like this, we've talked about this episode's focus on like the more visual and performative elements of, you know, the Zen of Arnold. And it, you know, it's kind of appropriate then that like we've talked about his grandparents a little bit, but grandpa and grandma, they're kind of introductions as being peripheral characters. I mean, grandpa doesn't quite get into a Raspberries monologue. He gets very close where he makes his point and then leaves on kind of a grandpa old man zinger, which is prevalent throughout the series. And we also get for me kind of the first real instance, you could I think the Lockjaw episode when she's kind of leaning into the spy bit, you could also kind of consider that, but the grandma's bit where she leans into a specific thing each episode. This time, you know, it's her being Calamity Grandma. She's saying, "Howdy, partner. Eat up, Tex. I'm a, you know, living the cowboy life, etc."
Calamity Grandma. That's so good.
It's so good. It's genius level.
Go ahead, Emily.
I was just going to say, so we were talking about how we each have an article of clothing or had in the past an article of clothing that is similar to how Arnold feels about his hat. So I'd want to hear what you guys have to say about that. For me, I would say it's probably my Doc Martens.
Hell yeah.
And it nice. In these Minnesota winters, it's rough to not be able to wear them. Just because, yeah, there's certain shoes like that that just make me feel a little bit more like myself. And so, yeah, I'm curious to hear what y'all have to say about that.
Great question. Cody, what do you got?
Well, mine is another, it's from the hat department. From seventh grade through high school, you could find me before school wearing a Boston Red Sox hat because I did like baseball. I liked the Red Sox a whole bunch. If I'm being honest, it was largely to help like flip my hair. I was very well known for having those sort of wings, like that hockey hair. That was a fixture of my wardrobe as well, obviously outside of school. You can't wear hats in a public school. What are you thinking? Red Sox hat specifically for me, I think is the peak of my existence's equivalent of Arnold hat.
Wait, did you wear it forwards or backwards?
I wore it forwards. I kind of regret that.
What a great question, though. Yes. Very important to know when we're visualizing the young Cody.
Especially with the hair flip imagery we had there.
Oh, boy.
Harry, what about yourself?
Yeah. Okay. So I wonder if Jason and Cody probably anticipated this one, but I wear a fake leather jacket as my winter coat. It is a replica of Leon Kennedy's from Resident Evil 4. When I was growing up, I played a lot of Resident Evil 4, and I thought Leon Kennedy was the coolest dude ever because of his jacket. And I always thought to myself, when I grow up, I'm going to wear a jacket just like that. That makes it sound like I was very young. I was like 14 at the time, but I digress. And when people ask me about it, I like to do the quote from David Lynch's Wild at Heart with the snakeskin jacket and how it's an expression of my individuality and my belief in personal freedom. So I have like a whole thing. So yeah, I wear Leon Kennedy's jacket, which I bought with proceeds from writing about that game, which adds to the sort of mythology of said jacket. So that was mine.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
See, when you listen to Stoop Kids, you not only get to learn more about Hey Arnold, the show, Arnold the character, but you get to learn more about us as well.
Wow, how exciting.
Everybody wants, I think, probably. But in any case, thank you for listening. Stay tuned, and we'll be here talking about episode 3B of Hey Arnold. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. If you haven't already, I'd recommend buckling up because already we've hit, I don't know about the peak, but certainly a peak for this little endeavor of ours, which is episode 3B, titled Stoop Kid. Ah, you've been waiting for it. And here it is. Original air date, October 30th, 1996. The Wikipedia sanctioned summary is as follows. While playing football in the street, Arnold kicks the ball onto Stoop Kid's stoop. According to Gerald, Stoop Kid is a teenage boy who has been living on that particular stoop ever since he was born. After learning that Stoop Kid, in fact, never leaves his stoop, Arnold tries to convince Stoop Kid to overcome his habit by taking a step off the stoop. I just said the word stoop more times in that 30 seconds than I've said in my entire life up to now, probably. But shouting out the geniuses at work here. First, the writing team, Peter Burns and Steve Vixton, got writing credit for this episode. So shout outs. And then we have Jamie Mitchell back again, 6 for 6, supervising the direction, as well as Kelly James and Julie Murphy. It should be noted, they are returning to us after having previously co-directed Eugene's Bike. Which maybe should have mentioned that when we were watching together, but maybe some of that energy is there. But regardless, obviously good to have them back. Go ahead.
I believe they're both female directors, right?
Yes. Yep. So that's
so shout outs to that. That rules.
Yeah, that's excellent. We'll kick it over to Emily. What are some of your initial takes from this brilliant episode?
Well, thanks for asking, Cody, first of all. The Stoop Kid episode of Stoop Kids Pod First of all, yeah, this episode is quite a lot to take in as far as quarantine goes.
Yeah.
we're in, obviously, it's the year 2021. We're still in a global pandemic. We're all still in quarantine, at least us four are. Yeah, and Stoop Kid himself has kind of become a bit of a legend during quarantine, part of last year. I think the meme was resurfacing a little bit just because we're all feeling his legendary status of not being able to leave his little area. So quarantine is mostly on my mind when we rewatched this just now. And yeah, curious to hear what y'all have to say about it. It is our penultimate episode of Stoop Kids Pod.
This is our thesis episode, and hopefully Harry can live up to that hype with his thoughts here.
Oh wow, that's quite a burden, but I will do my best. I was really interested to hear that this is directed by the same people who directed Eugene's Bike. It follows a similar format, right? Where this is an episode about Arnold inadvertently screwing up somebody's life, and then we get to see Arnold trying to make up for that sort of inadvertent mistake, not quite like out of duty, but just out of the idea that he should, which is interesting. And it's another pretty good message for kids, I think, that like it's okay to make mistakes, right? Like Arnold is a character, he's not a perfect character, he's a character who can be petty or can be sort of cruel the way children can be, but the difference is that he makes up for those mistakes, if you call them mistakes, or the when he sees that they hurt somebody, and that's really cool. The other big thing about this episode is that like it's at the end of the episode, it's made clear that it's okay for Stoop Kid to continue to be Stoop Kid and to continue to mostly love his stoop. The problem was just the way that he was letting that one aspect of his identity override and control all of his other manifestations of life, everything else that he did, to the point where it was all he was doing. He was afraid to leave his stoop. He was obsessed. Once he gets over that, it's still okay for him to continue to be Stoop Kid. He says that, oh, I'm Stoop Kid. This is who I am. And now I can harass people from my stoop and from off my stoop. The show sort of makes fun of that, but then it ends on a triumphant note where Harold makes fun of him. He leaps off of his stoop and he says, I'm going to roll you downtown. And he chases after Harold, some unfortunate fat phobia there. But so interesting, like two good messages in this 11 minute episode of a children's TV show, which is pretty rad, I think. And also, I think you pointed this out, Cody, it's the first official of the Gerald Urban Legends, right?
Yeah, you're right. And the Urban Legend episodes take into, oh boy, they cover so much. Like they're a perfect, I don't know about perfect, one of the best like categories of episodes of this program, because they do so much, Harry. A lot of what you just said, the whole, you know, we're learning a lesson, obviously, but they're just as important for Arnold as they are for the character he's quote unquote rehabilitating. Maybe that, you know, the person of the week, so to speak, maybe they don't learn anything by the end of the episode. That's not necessarily, well, it's kind of the case here. You know, or kind of like meeting Arnold halfway is sort of another way of looking at it. But yeah, this is the first of what we would maybe characterize as the first of the Urban Legend episodes, when, you know, Sid utters something along the lines of our own Gerald is the keeper of the tale. He jumps in. This one comes with a nice little like mythical daydreamy animation. Not all of them have that, I don't think. But it helps in building up the mythic status of, you know, in this case, it's, you know, like we said, an urban legend. But that goes for anybody as well. We spend, I broke it down into crude numbers because I don't like having fun, but roughly 5.5 of the 11 minutes of the runtime of this episode is spent in fear of Stoop Kid or building up to Stoop Kid. And then the latter half, it pivots almost exactly halfway through into, this is someone that we're mocking, you know, kind of going to the other end of the spectrum, and we do have to find our way back to the middle. You know, Stoop Kid gets what he wants. Arnold doesn't think he gets what he wants from the experience, but in the end, he's content with it in a way that only Arnold really can be.
Yeah, that's really well said. And as you were saying that, it occurred to me that that is the narrative arc of, if not all, then a lot of the urban legends, right? Like we talked about how Lockjaw was sort of a proto-urban legend, but certainly Monkey Man and Pigeon Man to come are both the same way, right? Where like they start out mythologized and then the episode arc is about humanizing them. So like going inside of them, understanding where they're coming from and how they got to be this way. In this case, it just shows that Stoop Kid is agoraphobic, essentially, right? And like actually is afraid to leave his stoop, and this is about him overcoming that. But that itself is another really interesting and really wholesome message, right? That like behind the stories that you've heard that are mythologizing people and maybe fetishizing or dehumanizing them a little bit, there is like always a human story. There's always like a human side. And that's a really cool idea that is returned to again and again in this show. And also like the urban legends are just so much fun, right? Like it's just like last episode, there are so many good flexes in this episode with like Gerald talking about how, Stoop Kid would meet the people who came to his stoop with accusatory barbs and yay, even physical violence. And like, that's all dramatically said. It's so good. I just like the writing in this show is so funny and it's so, smart and just like a flex constantly. I think
it's interesting to note this episode and the Lockjaw episode, just in how Arnold reacts to the way Lockjaw and Stoop Kid are treated amongst his peers, and especially in this one because Gerald is his best friend and Gerald is obviously the keeper of the tale here, but Arnold still goes against the grain to help Stoop Kid out. And I think that says a lot about his character, just like in many episodes, it says a lot about his character. He's just a great person. He's trying to be the best Arnold that he can be. But yeah, shout out to Arnold.
Shout out to Arnold. Also, a really good characterization of that where like he's not afraid to go against the grain. And he also like doesn't even judge the other people for making fun of Stoop Kid, right? Like he just does his thing, which is help Stoop Kid.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't like partake in making fun of Stoop Kid, but he doesn't like shame the kids who are having fun, like poking fun at him.
Right.
Yeah. The element, or kind of the beats where and it's not just the kids, right? It's like the entire universe of this show on a dime turns and makes fun of this character. And I guess that's what I'm sort of landing on now, because while watching this episode of Hey Arnold, it feels so much different from the other tales that we've seen so far. Granted, we've only gone through about a half dozen, but the fact that, and I don't know if it's just by nature of it being an urban legend episode or something completely separate, but all other stories told so far are very isolated. They're kind of in their own corners of this neighborhood. And I guess this being a Stoop Kid on a stoop by definition is in his own corner, but that turn where everybody is either rooting against Stoop Kid or near the end where everybody's cheering him on, the feeling of the eyes of an entire world upon us was a dynamic that I hadn't felt. And I can't recall when we feel that again, but that in its own right sets this episode apart to something complete. And, you know, fitting that it's so early on and it sets that tone, you know, for when it attempts it later too in urban legend episodes or otherwise.
Yeah, really well said. There's also that great newspaper gag that they apply that always hits, as we commented when we were watching it. Yeah.
It always hits. Man, amazing. Stoop Kid afraid to leave stoop 10 seconds after he announces it. Oh, God. The show's so good.
I love, too, how Arnold goes about helping him overcome his fear.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so good.
Like, obviously, the visual, you have to go with the visual gag, right, of just, like, trying to bring ice cream to the bottom of the stoop.
Right, and like dangling it like it's a carrot on a stick. And, right. And Stoop Kid, like, he's got like this big expression on his face and he's like following after it like he's hypnotized.
But the best is that Arnold brings a book of stoops around the world to show him. This is the sweetest moment and like such a creative idea on Arnold's part to show him other stoops that he could travel to if only he can overcome his fear of his own stoop.
That's also just such a funny gag. Like, he shows him, I think it's like the Incan Sun Temple, and Stoop Kid goes, "It's the greatest stoop I've ever seen."
That
game. It's so funny.
Yeah, it and you see it's sort of in the shadow of a weird way to put it, but of what other programs try to do, where it's, you know, you're maybe watching somebody learn math and it's like, oh wow, I don't get this. It's like, oh well, I love ice cream. If I eat two ice creams now and three ice creams, oh, I'll have five ice creams total. Yeah, that's math. Just like, if you categorize the entire world as stoops so this person can understand it, it's sort of a weird inverted way to put it, but yeah, like Arnold speaking Stoop Kid's language, and then him doing that across all the, like, again, we're just comparing this to other urban legend episodes, but like it sets that tone early. This is the first real example of it, and it's perfect. It's so crisp. You know, we're going to show you that there are stoops beyond just the stoop that you're on right now. And I have to keep telling myself that in quarantine. So watching
someday
to Stoop Kid, someday we'll be able to visit
other stoops.
Yeah.
Make sure. Speaking of quarantine, again, this was something I noticed when I was taking screenshots for Stoop Kids Pod on Twitter before we had even watched the episode. So it's not something I think I would have noticed in just watching the episode itself, but because I was pausing it, I noticed that the sign next to Stoop Kid says, "Notice these premises are quarantined." And they showed a couple times, and it's sort of fuzzy in the background, but it's not even mentioned, the fact that Stoop Kid's building is apparently under quarantine.
Oh man, wild. Definitely would never be something that future podcasters would see and kind of freak out about because of how weirdly prescient and relevant it is.
Yeah, certainly not us.
Yeah.
Certainly not. One sort of stray thought that I have here is I always gravitate towards sports because I'm a bit of a sports
shocker.
The start of this episode characterizes the thing that is always the case with Arnold. He's not the greatest sportsman. He's not the best athlete. Whatever sport they're playing, you know, he's the it's the Charlie Brown thing, or it's the, you know, insert protagonist here. But everybody's moving in and he kicks the football over their heads. And then it lands in a forbidden place, kind of like Sandlot. You know, you get some big Sandlot energy. I just figured I'd reference a few other
very much Sandlot.
Yeah.
I had one more note. Sorry, Emily. Which is just that the mailman Harvey makes, I believe, his first spoken appearance in these episodes. He's played by the legendary late R&B singer Lou Rawls. Shout outs to Lou Rawls. He's amazing. Check out his music, I guess. But yeah, he's huge, and it's wild that he's in this these episodes. At one point, he calls Arnold a sun-bronzed Greek god, and we got to hear Lou Rawls say that. So, just another reason to watch this incredible show.
It's a really cool reference. My last note is that I think in our post-vaccine world, say we're all double dosed up on the COVID-19 vaccine, we're good to go, everything is okay to re-enter the world. I think we could take a note from this episode and all cheer for each other as we re-enter society and leave our stoops.
So true. Let's be there for each other and at a distance and cheer.
I would love that a whole bunch. I guess here's looking ahead to brighter days. Hopefully you're listening to this in a brighter, better, double-dosed world. But until then, thank you once again for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Stoop Kids Pod. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry. You can find me at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at EmilySui.
And in case you missed it, we're Stoop Kids. That's who we are.